Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Motor Mouth podcast with Harry Benjamin and Tim Sylvie. This is the place where we meet some of the biggest names in and around motorsport, chat about their lives and everything in between.
We've partnered with the Brain Tumor Charity, a cause we care deeply about. And this March is Brain Tumor Awareness Month. And we'll be sharing a couple of special podcasts uncovering those within the motorsport community who've been affected by these devastating diagnoses. Plus, the Brain Tumor Charity is also running the Conquer the Challenge from March through to May, a virtual fundraiser for those fitness inclined. And there's a leaderboard, so if you're competitive, then this is definitely for you. All the details are at thebraintumorcharity.org. Together, we can help every single person affected by a brain tumor. This season, we're delighted to be teaming up with Grid Rival. If your football mates are constantly going on about their fantasy leagues, well, now you can get your own back and create your own racing fantasies. Thanks to Grid Rival, including F1 and MotoGP, you can select your own teams and drivers, interact with other fans, and join or create your own leagues where you can trade on the go to make sure you have the ultimate lineup for every race. If you're as obsessive about motorsport as we are, make sure you set up on Grid Rival today. Head to their website, gridrival.com, or download their app from your app store. 2021 leagues are now live, so download the app, set up your own league, or you can join ours. Come on, have a go with us. Just search for Motormouth Official, select your team and drivers, and we'll see who comes out on top.
Hello, Tim Sylvie here. Now, today we're joined by a rising star of television who also happens to be a dab hand behind the wheel. She hails from the Lincolnshire countryside, and before we introduce her, did you know that the first policewoman to be granted full powers of arrest in Great Britain over 100 years ago was Lincolnshire's own Edith Smith, who patrolled the streets of Grantham? She worked 7 days a week from 1915 to 1917, dealing with frivolous girls who sold their body on the streets. What do you make of that, Harry Benjamin?
Wow, what a tone to start the motoring podcast off with, Tim. wasn't there a TV show called like Grantham or something like that?
Grantham. Grantham? Is that how you say it?
Sorry, that's probably a posh thing I've done. It's probably Grantham. can't help. I speak the Queen's English. I'm sorry. I am all good, all being said, apart my hair is getting... Yeah. You know, actually, the headphones, people can't see this, but the headphones make it look slightly more reasonable, but yeah. The hair is
Are the headphones now starting to sort of creep off your ears up into the hair?
You know, because... what's funny, I went to Sainsbury's yesterday. I know, very glamorous, hashtag luxury lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I put my mask on, obviously, just before. I actually do it before, as I leave the house, because I actually find it keeps my face warm.
Yeah, it's cozy.
And then I put it on, and then I had tufts of hair sticking out from like either side, just above my ears. And I thought, oh my God, this is actually getting stupid now.
Yeah, it needs to get cut. It's beyond.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Anyway, shall I introduce today's guest?
Yes, I think so.
Today's guest is Grace Webb, the rising star of the small screen, who's the granddaughter of Donington Park Race Circuit's founder, Tom Wheatcroft. So motorsport is certainly in the blood. She's presented on Motors TV and has taken up the reins of what was Katie's Amazing Machines, presented by our former podcast guest, Katie Munnings, who can now be found over in Extreme E. And the show is now aptly named Grace's Amazing Machines, where she gets to drive some frankly ridiculous cars and bikes. We're here to hear about her life, opinions, and future plans. Grace, welcome to the Motormouth Podcast.
Hey guys, how are you guys?
Not too shabby, you know, under the circumstances, lockdown and all that. Mind you, by the time this goes out, I think we're all pretty much back to normal, aren't we?
Oh, I don't know. That's optimistic. I feel like we might be on the first of many phases or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah, we can only hope, can't we? Just keep going on that roadmap and checking in with the milestones.
Yeah, I mean, I've stopped sort of watching what's happening and just waiting and seeing what actually happens, because I just can't keep up.
Well, at least you've had it. You're totally immune, really.
I did get COVID, yeah, but we did a podcast. Remember, I actually had it without realizing it, and then was very ill.
We interviewed Eddie Jordan while Harry had COVID, and he didn't know. And if you listen to that episode,
I think on the show, I was like, I felt a bit hot, and I wasn't talking as much as I usually did. Like Tim did a lot of the heavy lifting for that one, and then I had a test the next day, and lo and behold, struck down for 2 weeks. But hey. We'll leave that in the past. Grace, welcome to the show. Thank you for coming on board with us to hear hair and COVID chat. As you can tell, this is a very high-quality, top journalistic podcast.
I'm desperate for a haircut as well. So I'm in the same boat as over. My plaits are getting longer and longer. I look back at the pictures I put on Instagram, and you'll see my plaits are getting longer and longer as I'm waiting for a haircut.
I'll be able to do them soon. Let's get straight into it, though, Grace. We mentioned right at the top of the show that your grandfather founded Donington Park. So if anybody's going to have anything to do with motor racing, cars, any form of automotive thing, it's probably going to be you. Tell us about that and what, you know, did you have much of a relationship with him and how was that where the car bug came from?
Yeah. So my grandfather on my mum's side, he's Tom Wheatcroft. And I was like a teenager when we would go to Donington Park and we'd watch the racing, and he's quite a big man as well. So I always remember the massive hugs that he used to give, which is lovely. And I don't think I really understood at the time, like the scale of what he achieved, because it was just part of the family. But I do have really good memories of going to Donington and watching the racing from the Wheatcroft suite. So we'd get to go up on Goddard's corner and watch the racing from there. And that was one of the first times I watched a MotoGP race live. And oh my gosh, the thrill and the excitement of like watching the bikes so up close. And the noise they make, like you don't realise watching on TV just how loud they are, especially when there's a group of them going around the same corner at the same time. It's just incredible. So I suppose it was kind of, drip fed to me throughout my younger years. And it's just always been in the family. My dad's an engineer on that side, so he, you know, from both sides of my family, I've always had engines around and that smell and the noise. And so it's always been a hobby and an interest of mine. It wasn't something that I started out in my career doing, but has sort of developed now in my 20s. I can make a career out of it.
It was going to be difficult to avoid.
Yeah, it was.
What's
the? Do you know the history of Donington Park? I mean, obviously he founded it, but what does that mean? Like, was it like a farm or something that he converted? What's the backstory?
Yeah, so I know a little bit about it in that it was originally a racetrack years and years ago, but obviously the kind of racetracks that were a bit muddy and a bit rough around the edges, and it didn't get used for a long time. So my granddad put an offer in to buy the plot of land and developed it into what it is today. So you know, organised putting the tarmac down and designing where the buildings were going and the layout of the track. So I think that word founded, it means how it looks today. Mm. He was the one that put that in place.
It's funny, actually, I just remember this now, that my first ever bit of work experience, it came when I was at Donington Park.
Hmm. Really?
What are the chances? I pestered for, I think Formula E had just done its first ever season, the all-electric racing series, and I'd watched it and like fallen mad in love with it and been like, oh my God, I need to get involved somehow. Pestered for ages the company that did it, and then eventually, instead of revising for my A-levels, and they then invited me that summer, I think. I'd finished school and they invited me that summer. I was 18. To spend 2 days with them at Donington Park for pre-season testing, because that's where they used to do it. That's where all the Formula E teams, I think, were first based initially. Mm. So that was the first ever racetrack I think I went to. I mean, it was a cold, dreary kind of grey days.
It always is. Donington Park. I've never been to Donington Park in the sun, and I think actually it was probably one of the last racetracks I went to before lockdown, because they had. It must have been last year. They had the British Touring Cars Media Day there, I think. And it was classic, blustery Donington Park day. It was freezing. And it just always seems to be the case. It's like every time I go to Snetterton, it rains. Maybe it's just me.
Isn't that just classic motor track weather? Yeah. Whenever you want to go to a racetrack, you're hoping for sunshine and inevitably it's going to rain, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And you mentioned MotoGP there. That's something that you have a passion for. It's something we need to get more au fait with. We're not up to speed on MotoGP.
I'm so bad at watching it. I don't know why. I'm just not drawn to it. I don't know, perhaps you could explain, Grace, like why some people, like you're not particularly into F1, so there's like two different sides of it, I suppose, isn't there?
I don't know how you can't not be into it, though, because you physically get to see the rider's body move around on this machine, and some of the racing is so close, and the lean angles they get, the speeds they get, the technology on those bikes. I don't, just everything draws me to it. I absolutely love watching it.
Does it have we should know this. This is disgusting behaviour from us. But does it have the sort of following that the other forms of motorsport have? I mean, we follow four wheels, and I know MotoGP is huge. But what is the audience like for it? Do people just go nuts for it?
Yeah. I mean, there's loads of people that love it. I sort of see what you're saying. I know that. Obviously, F1 has a big following, and just the car world generally. I think motorbikes are just another realm, and I think sometimes people have they perceive motorbikes in a way already, and I think sometimes they get a bad reputation. So it's especially motorbikes on the road, and then you then don't really follow it up sort of thing. But the fans that do watch it are well into it. You know, there's merchandise for different riders. There's merchandise for the MotoGP logo. You know, it is its own world in itself.
Yeah.
I'd probably say it's probably just as big as F1 in the two-wheeled world, especially. What are you like on a bike, Grace? Any chance of you being a racing driver when you were growing up?
I'd love to. I think my passion for it came a bit too late sort of thing. So I was sort of too old to get into the younger categories of starting out motorbike riding. But then I'm also not experienced enough to go and play with this group of people. Yeah. My brother started racing mini motos when he was about 10. So I was 13 at the time. Part of me at the time sort of remembers being a bit reluctant going along because, you know, I was 13 and I wanted to hang out with my mates and, oh, I'm being dragged along to this thing that my little brother's doing. And but it was a new world for us all at the time. You know, although we'd watched racing, we'd never taken part in it ourselves until that point. And the more I went, the more I loved it. And but I think, like I say, my brother had kind of had all the experience. And then by the time I said I wanted to go, you know, I was too big for a mini moto. And I think there was a little a part of it that was like, oh, well, girls break a bit easier. And, you know, we'll steer you towards something else. You know, you can come along and watch and that's fine. So I probably should have put my foot down a bit more at the time. And it's always one of those things you look back and think, oh, I should have done that, I should have said that. And but yeah, so we'd always been around it since that time. And I would, because I was dragged along to all of this stuff, I would take photographs of the riders as a way of sort of getting to know people, because we'd go along to these meetings every weekend or every other weekend, you were kind of forced into this new world and you had to get along with people. And so I would take photographs of the riders and print them out and go along to people and say, hey, I took a picture of you, do you want it? And you'd start chatting and that kind of thing. And so you'd make sort of a new family, this racing family, which you just love, but none of my other friends would really understand, you know, what it's like in a race paddock. And you'd see these people on all these weekends and you'd build relationships with them. And, you know, I got to know quite a lot of people in the paddocks that we went to. And eventually my brother raced for a championship called Thundersport GB, which was televised on Motors TV. And when Thundersport were looking to televise the championship, they wanted a presenter of some kind. And they were like, well, we need someone who sort of knows the riders and knows where they've come from and how they've been doing over the months in the championships. And we're like, well, Grace has been around for ages and she talks to everyone, so let's get her on. And that's kind of how my first televised job came about, that they wanted someone that knew what was going on. And we're like, well, do you want to do it?
Had you done that before?
Yeah, all right.
is this the first time that you would have had a microphone stuffed in front of your face? There was no past experience of it?
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. that was just that. And again, it's like, I do truly believe that if you just plod on and keep doing what you enjoy and do what you do, you know, you don't know who's looking at you. Yeah. And you never know what opportunities are going to come about. And I did really enjoy it. You know, I would say, if, you know, this isn't really for me, but, you know, I chatted to everyone anyway. This was just chatting with them, but with a microphone and a camera. Yeah.
I love that though, because that's so cool that one moment, well, not a one moment, because it's a build up, isn't it? You know, you've put your face out there, you've got to know everybody. But that moment of you going to a racetrack, thinking, oh, this is quite good fun, and putting your neck out there a little bit and showing a bit of initiative by learning the drivers, has led to something so unexpected and so cool that has fundamentally changed the course of your entire life. That's amazing. So you end up being a presenter on Motors TV and fronting this this stuff. How did you take to it? I mean, you must have been pretty nervous the first time they switched the cameras on. Did you feel comfortable immediately?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that, like, oh, were you nervous? But I don't really remember being that nervous, and I think it's because I sort of followed in my sister's steps, in that she was a nursery nurse, so she worked with young children, and I grew up, she's 8 years older than me, so I grew up sort of watching her, and I ended up taking my career into teaching. So when I was put in front of a camera, you're sort of used to presenting in a way when you teach, just to younger people, because teaching is sort of a performance and everything's so exciting. And so then when it came to, like, with a microphone and a camera, I didn't really get that nervous, because I was sort of used to presenting ideas and sort of performing in front of a group of 30 kids, that you're sort of used to looking a bit silly all the time. I was all right with it, really. And I think, like you say, I was used to speaking to people all the time. This was just that we had a camera and a microphone. I think it made other people more nervous because I brought a camera and a microphone along with me when I chatted to them.
when you started doing that, then did you think quite quickly, right, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to strive to sort of do more of this and push on with it. Or were you just kind of along for the ride and seeing where it would go? Or did you think, right, I'm going to be a presenter and I want to talk about bikes and all sorts of other cars and things like that?
It did cross my mind whether to take it forward more from that point. But I still enjoyed teaching a lot at the time, and I was still early in my teaching career at that point. So I wanted to pursue that more, because you spend all these years at university studying for something that I thought, right, I'll go along that route for the time being. But funnily enough, when Katie left Amazing Machines and they were looking for a new presenter, I think the production team went on a hunt on the internet, and it was one of the videos of me interviewing someone at a racetrack that they came across, saw that, contacted me and said, oh, we've seen this video of you on Motors TV. You know, we're looking for a presenter. Is this something that you'd be interested in doing? And obviously, I then researched Katie's Amazing Machines. I'd not heard of it before, you know, not having young kids of my own. Researched it, saw her doing all these amazing things on machines and in the sky and in fast cars and whatever else. And I was like, yeah, that's a bit of me. You know, it's aimed at kids. It's to do with motorsport, whole thing married up. Went for the screen test, and a few days later they said they'd like to offer me the job. And I was like, are you joking?
it's so cool.
These things just lined up and it happened. And what I really love, like, is seeing Katie now doing all this amazing stuff in Extreme E. I love that, because an opportunity came up for her and an opportunity came up for me, and it's, you know, everyone's happy kind of thing. Yeah, so,
And that show is, it's, you know, who knows what you're going to go on to after this, but and we'll talk about the future, but it's almost becoming like, you know, this show is like it's going to be a launch pad for careers for years, because everyone loves the program. My 5-year-old, I said it to Katie when she was on, you know, he was like, oh my God, you got Katie from Katie's Amazing Machines. It's ridiculous. And he's obsessed with cars, loves that show. And it's such a good program. And it feels like it's the sort of thing that it's just going to create a conveyor belt of, you know, people who go on it, and it just launches them into a different stratosphere. And Katie's now become this, you know, in our world, certainly a star, you know, all of a sudden, overnight almost, she's been propelled into the limelight. And it must be great for you to see that sort of path and think, God, you know, your career is heading in a, you know, not to say you're going to go on and do racing in Extreme E or anything like that, but it must be, give you a warm, fuzzy feeling to think, well, I'm part of this whole world and look at the possibilities.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, I can only hope, onwards and upwards kind of thing. And yeah, definitely after Amazing Machines, I'm a bit more serious about presenting. I still do a bit of teaching now, but I can work that around presenting as well. And the show is just incredible. It's great. People at CBeebies are amazing. And yeah, I love it. And who knows where it will go. And I love the fact that, because I'm a motorbiker and Katie was a rally driver, it's almost brought another community into the show. And the amount of comments I get on Instagram saying, oh, my little one wants a motorbike. And I'm like, oh, I love that. And because, like I say, I do think sometimes motorbikes can get a bad rep. And the fact that these kids want a motorbike, and, you know, men and women can ride bikes, and whoever you are, you can ride a motorbike. And that's what I love about the show, that it just opens up all these opportunities that, and the diverse range of machines, you know, there's tractors, there's supercars, there's airplanes, there's all sorts. And, you know, it's, I've learned so much on the job as well. Like, I didn't even know that machine existed or whatever. And so I really love it. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity. It's just, the whole thing's been amazing.
Well, as well as, I think, as you said, it directly sort of to inspires, I suppose, anybody, but also, you know, young girls watching you do your thing and all these amazing machines, it suddenly creates another level of accessibility that wasn't there before. And that is what we need, especially going forward, so starting in kids' TV. That's the perfect place for it, isn't it?
Yeah.
What is the coolest machine that you've... I don't know. You've driven, you've raced, you've flown. Like, how would you describe it? What's the coolest thing?
I get asked this quite a lot. I've still not refined my answer because I don't know. And there's so many cool ones. I mean, in my first series, we filmed a super bike, and it was a BMW S1000RR, and it recently only just come out as well, and we were at Anglesey racetrack and had the whole track to myself, this amazing film crew, and the weather was spot on, which is unusual, and everything just sort of pieced up, and I remember getting off the bike and just giving the producer a massive hug because it was just such this surreal situation. And I'd been teaching full time like the week before as well, so it was just like how my world had literally changed in the space of a few days. And so I'd probably say that machine, because that day and that moment, everything just lined up, and that was cool.
is that the if you could take one of them home, would that be the one that you'd go and stick in your garage?
Oh no, if I could take one home, I would have the motorhome. Oh, we filmed this epic motorhome, a double bed and a fridge and all these mirrors and sliding out sofas. Oh. And to have something like that, that's like, you could go anywhere you want with it, and that would be the one I'd take home. But yeah,
that's actually
I love traveling.
One thing I remember watching Top Gear years ago, one of the coolest things I ever remember was this gigantic motorhome they had that had all the bells and whistles, you know, and it had, you know, the kitchen was like top notch, and then it had like where I suppose you the underside of the coach, you could press the button and suddenly a car would come out, a sports car, and it would just slide. And I was like, that is cooler than Ed. Like, I don't want just the Aston Martin. I want it in a motorhome, please.
Thank you. That's the dream.
Yeah, I'd happily buy £100 scooter off eBay to chuck in the back of it if I could have that epic motorhome. Like,
what was your first car?
My first car was a Peugeot 206.
Solid.
In black.
Nice.
Did you have some 6x9s in the boot? Yeah, have the big subwoofer and all that stuff that you get with your first car, or is that just me being old?
It didn't quite have a subwoofer, but I did have a gold nodding dog.
Nice. You've got to have something in there.
In the on the parcel shelf. Nice. But when it's your first car, I loved buying all the accessories for it. I mean, that was back in the day when we had tax discs and a really cool tax disc holder, and
those were the days, I tell you. Those tax disc holders. And it's like when I don't know whether you're 27, is that right?
Yeah.
When I got my first car, it was still at that stage where you could swap out the radios, in that you'd click out the radio. Did you have that? And you press about the radio flips out, you put your own radio frontage on there, you get your 6x9 speakers cut into the back, the parcel shelf at the back. You'd have your subwoofer taking up half the boot, and you'd cruise along in your Vauxhall Nova with the window down, which you roll down like that. Harry, have you seen those before?
And you're just electric, right?
And then you just blast out these. Amazing. Then with the days, I tell you.
Oh, yeah. And I got a lot of that off my older brother. He was one for adding neons to his car and a nitro button and you name it, he had it on his car, and took inspiration from him. I'm still part of me would like some neons on my car.
Just roll with it. You're doing these electric car reviews, you know, it sort of makes sense, you know, give it that sort of electric vibe, you know. I think you should go for it.
Yeah, match the colour of the car and everything.
Yeah.
I have a blue car now, so I'm adamant that I'll have blue neons on it.
Oh. Well,
the trouble is you can't legally use them on the road though, can you?
No.
Can you not? I haven't done that.
Mm.
Well, how is the
is it too tempting to press the button to turn them on?
That'll be your next project if we go into God help us if we have another lockdown. Yeah. We're not going to. But Tim mentioned it there, the electric car stuff. You started doing that. That must be quite cool as well. And reviewing these current road cars and sort of the future, I suppose, of what we're going to be driving on the roads. How's that been?
Yeah, really exciting, actually. Yeah, so I'm working with a company called Driving Electric, and they're basically a platform that will document and give facts and advice, anything about driving electric on the road. So it's really exciting to be a part of that team now, because electric motorsport, electric cars is a big thing at the minute. I know a lot of car manufacturers have announced that, you know, they're only going to be making electric cars from a certain date. And so it's inevitably the way driving is going to go. So it's exciting to be part of it now, to see what they're producing and what hybrids and what charging times they're putting out and range. And it's only, they're only getting better and better.
Yeah.
You know, every car we do, it's like, oh, well, you can compare it to this one and this one better and look at what this one does. And yeah, so it's a really exciting time to be a part of it.
A quick interruption to the show to remind you to check out our sponsors, Grid Rival. Grid Rival is an absolute must for any racing fan. I've been looking to join fantasy motorsport leagues for absolutely ages, and Grid Rival does that and so much more with an experience like no other. Real-time fantasy games, the best content, and a community of fans. Grid Rival is a must for 2021. Get ready for the motorsport season with Grid Rival today. Fantasy leagues are now live, so make sure you head to their website. It's gridrival.com, or download their app from your app store so you can set up your own league or join ours. Just search Motormouth Official and you can join our league and go up against us if you think you're tough enough.
Yeah, yeah. There's some good electric cars coming out at the moment. The e-tron range from Audi is super cool. There's some really nice stuff coming out. Do you follow Formula E, you know, on the electric theme? Are you into the Formula E side of racing?
Yeah, I don't follow it religiously, say. I remember seeing, actually, at Donington Park, an electric bike race. And it's quite odd when you're used to hearing engines going by. It was just like a waft of air every time they went past. it's, the electric racing is definitely a different world.
I think that there are plans, aren't there, for like an all-electric Moto GP, essentially.
It's out, isn't it? In Moto E, isn't it? Isn't it already
Moto E? Yeah. I don't know if it exists. Does it exist yet, or is it just sort of in the planning stages? I don't know.
No, it does. It does exist. But again, I think to try and get people to watch it
is another thing.
A hard sell.
It might be
as
quite...
is trying to get people to buy electric cars at the minute is a hard sell.
Well, it's difficult because there's I've contemplated it, but for me there's not that we don't have the infrastructure yet. You know, you buy an electric car, and if you live in central London on a residential street with no charging points and you can't get a car park space outside your house, what do you do? You know, you there's no way of charging your vehicle. So maybe in 10-15 years, but for me it just seems like a strange thing to do, unless you happen to have your own charging point, you know, at your house, which is fine. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. But I think the Moto E, I would have thought is quite an appealing thing to watch, because you stick an electric drivetrain in a, you know, Tesla, and those things shift from, you know, 2 or 3 seconds, you're up at 60 miles an hour. I would have thought on a motorbike, you know, you put an electric motor on those things, they're basically going supersonic, aren't they? It must be ridiculous to see the speed of those electric bikes.
Yeah, we filmed actually a couple of electric bikes on Amazing Machines, and as soon as you twist the throttle,
instant
you're off. Like, you haven't even got time to think about it. They're a lot of fun, but I do know what you're saying about charging points and things like that. That's something that I think puts people off, but if you can invest in that, an electric car does, as I'm sure an electric bike will, give you a lot of perks. And I think one of the main things is saving on running costs is a big saver.
Now, Grace, because you are a well, compared to us, you're a MotoGP wizard. So educate us. Who is, and I feel like I do myself a disservice, but in terms of Tim, because he doesn't know anything, who is the all-time great of MotoGP? What do you need to know if you get to sort of start watching it?
I know that one.
Well, yeah, I think generally, see, I might get a lot of flack for this, but I think generally Valentino Rossi is regarded as the greatest of all time rider. I mean, I don't even know how long he's been riding, a long time since I've been watching it. He's been there, and he's still there now and still competitive. And again, I think he's regarded as old for riding in MotoGP, but you know, he's still got some juice in him, so don't count him out. But last year was quite an interesting season, because another rider to look out for is Marc Marquez, who has, well, compared to Valentino Rossi, is a bit of a rookie, but he's sort of come in and won championships already and is just insane on a bike. The stuff he can do, and even saving a mistake that he's made, he's able to save it somehow.
Those crashes
incredible.
They have. I mean, we think sometimes F1 crashes can be quite, but you know, as you, the whole, I suppose, appeal of watching MotoGP is you see the rider, but when they have a crash, it's
spectacular.
Quite horrible to watch because you see that impact that they have with the ground.
Did you see the one, you'll probably know this, Grace, better than me. It must have been about 3 or 4 months ago, maybe a bit longer, maybe 6 months. But it was Rossi, and they were coming up a straight, turning into a right-hander, and one bike went, I think, over Rossi, and literally just over the top of his head, and then he drove in between the but it was a miracle. He was like, I've been touched by God. Like, what the hell just happened? He watched it back and was like, I don't know how I've survived that. I should be dead.
I remember watching that on TV. Literally, this other bike was centimeters from his body.
Yeah,
like you say, how everything just lined up for it to miss him is unbelievable. But it's stuff like that at the end of a race. There's more to celebrate than just winning. You know, getting round is another thing. So
they're amazing, very brave, and like you say, Valentino Rossi, he's a legend, isn't he? I mean, even an armchair fan like me is very aware of him, and also Marc Marquez. You know, he seems to be the guy that everyone is talking about. Now, listen, what about you? What's the future hold for you? Are we going to one day see Grace Webb in a racing car competing against other racing drivers? Is there a future for you on track?
Well, I think part of the reason why I've not done it before as well is it's so expensive to compete. And, you know, especially when, you know, like me, I've not competed from a young age. So I suppose I'm still quite new to competing, although I've been on track in a car and on a bike loads of times in a, you know, track day situation and just for fun. Competing is another thing. I mean, I'd love to give it a go if someone would like to sponsor me and put my all into it.
Do you know what? Because
who knows?
There's obviously we've got W Series, which is doing great things for female participation and inclusion in motorsport. But there's also launching soon this. I don't know if you've seen it on doing the rounds on LinkedIn and socials. I think it's called Formula Woman or Formula Women. Have you seen this?
Yes,
you can only enter if you're not essentially a racing driver, I think, is the premise behind it.
I'll let you into a secret. I have already applied.
Exclusive.
Because I saw that come up and it was like, you know, you can't have competed, you have to be a woman. And I was like, I'm ticking all the boxes here. Yeah. You know, what have you got to lose? And I'm very much one for that kind of thing. I will take an opportunity if it comes up. I rarely say no to stuff. So it's one of those, what have you got to lose? Yeah. So I sent it in. But I think at the moment they're still in early stages of seeing how the pandemic unfolds and how that can work with their calendar and things. So, but I have also heard that it's televised. So I'm also willing to be on their production team. I'm all ears.
get Gare Ryan on that one. Well, you're obviously quite good at driving in general, but what are you awful at? What is the, like, what are you just so bad at that you just can't even bear to do it?
I'm not good at accents.
Can we hear one? So, like,
no, because it's so bad.
What about, like, Irish is always a, give us a little bit of Irish.
What should I say?
They're like, hello there, how are you? What's top of the morning to you? How are you?
Hello.
What's saying, Harry?
Hello there.
Hello there.
Honestly, see, that makes me nervous. I having to like fake a voice, so I can't do it.
That was cruel. Sorry, I apologize.
I'm good at some accents, but anything north of London I can't do it. It's just apart from some sort of generic Scottish, but any kind of northern Scottish accent and stuff is I just can't do it. It's an absolute.
And I would need someone else to say it first for me to like get in tune, and even that I can't really get in tune. Speaking of tune, I'm not really musical. I love music, absolutely love music, but if you ask me to like do a drum roll, I can't even do that.
No rhythm.
Not much rhythm. No.
Well, you can't join our band then. We've collected quite a gaggle. So Harry went to RADA, so he's a thespian, actor, singer, you know, the full works. He can break dance on his head.
Triple
he can do spins. there's me with my choir boy skills and the guitar and the piano in the back here. We've got loads of people that we've interviewed on the podcast who have got hidden talents, like, you know, they play the guitar or, you know, they play the drums or whatever. What's your hidden talent? Have you got a hidden talent that the public don't know about?
I snowboard.
I
have been going out to somewhere every season. The pandemic has stopped that for the past few seasons. But I'd say I'm not too shabby on a snowboard.
How long have you been doing that for?
I've been doing it for about 6 years, maybe.
Okay.
And I mean, living in Lincolnshire, there's not much access to snow. I mean, it's as flat as a pancake. And any indoor slopes are like several hours drive away. But we do try and get to the indoor slopes as much as we can, which I do enjoy. And I like to, like, I always have that fear that I'm going to forget how to do it. And so you try and like keep up to date with it.
I'm a skier. This is my point. I've been doing that since I was four. So just tell me, why is it that snowboarders always think they own the slopes and want to cut everybody else up?
Stop it.
Punchy. God
dear.
I totally do skiing, but the reason I got into snowboarding was because I tried water skiing first.
Lovely.
Oh, that's a hole.
Yeah, my legs like just didn't want to stay together. So I was like, well, it's going to be the same on snow. And you know, you've got more contact on a snowboard, and I just seemed to go with that, and it worked out. So
I'm really good at water skiing. Just chucking that out there. I find it really easy. Honestly, duck to water, literally. I got on a pair of I think I did it mono first. I could do that, nailed it.
But I could barely like get out of the water.
Yeah, but you're
mono skiing so hard.
Along. Yeah, but you're 85 foot tall. You're not built for water skiing. Let's be honest.
No,
you don't have
not.
The physique for it. You know,
I should have done rugby, really.
Yeah, or basketball or something like that. Grace, what you've had a very good career to date. You've had some amazing opportunities in front of camera. The amazing machines, obviously fantastic. There may be some young people listening to this who are trying to make their way into broadcasting or media. What advice would you give them? Is there anything you would have done differently? What can they do to try and make their way in the broadcasting world?
Yeah, well, I can only speak from experience, but for me, like I say, I was just being myself chatting to people, being nice, you know, treating other people how you want to be treated kind of thing, and just doing me. And that got me the opportunity, you know, someone spotted that and said, well, she seems all right, you know, let's give her a chance kind of thing. And so I think, yeah, if you do want to get into it, just keep doing what you're doing, because you never know who's watching you and will pick up on that, really. So yeah, you know, a few people have asked me that before, and you know, platforms like YouTube and Instagram are so good now that you can promote things and hashtag things and get your content out there. So just do what you love and keep doing that.
Yeah, great advice.
What, if anything, would you have done differently? Derek, we get deep towards the end.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. What would I have done differently? Nothing, I don't think.
That's fine as well. I think that's quite nice to hear, actually, because absolutely. I often think when a lot of the answers we get sometimes, especially from elite athletes, you know, who are top of their game in racing or whatever, they always say, or most of them say that, well, actually, I wouldn't have done anything differently because I learned from it, and that's what's got me to where I am now. So it's kind of made who I am.
I'd agree with that, because it's almost like the reason I'm here now is because of the decisions I took before, kind of thing. I mean, it was hard. I did find it hard leaving teaching to take the job of Amazing Machines. That was quite difficult at the time.
Must be quite scary, actually. It's a bit of a scary jump, I suppose, into a bit of a
It was a bit of a jump. And it was just quite difficult to leave the school. So I had to make the decision myself and do something for me, you know. I didn't leave the school in the lurch, but I said, no, I'm doing this for me, so I've got to leave on this date. And like I say, it was that thing of I was teaching the last week and then filming the week after. You've just, as hard as it is sometimes to be brave and stand up for what you want to do, I don't regret it now.
No, that's really nice. I think some, one of the things that quite a few people have said as well is that, like Harry says, a lot of the people we've spoken to are sort of right at the top of the tree in terms of their profession, whether it's, you know, athletes or businessmen or whatever. And a lot of them say, I wish I had sort of acknowledged the moment more, you know, enjoyed the moment, because they've taken it so seriously and are so single-minded that by the time they reach their, you know, 30s, 40s, they're like, God, you know, I didn't actually take the time to enjoy what I was doing because I was so in it. But also I think from, you know, your example's great, because it shows that you don't necessarily need to have the experience to jump into something that you love. You know, you've gone from a teacher to being on the TV in millions of homes up and down the country every morning, you know, so it's there's opportunities there for everybody. Before we come on to our final three questions and let you get on with your day, I'm curious, our most highbrow question, would you prefer, if you could choose, would you take feathers or scales, and why?
Feathers.
Yeah. I think
does this mean, would you rather fly or be able to breathe underwater?
I mean, chickens have feathers. They're not very good at flying. But, you know, I guess if you adapted your feathers correctly, then, yes, technically you can fly.
That's how I see it. I see it. Feathers fly. Scales, you can swim.
Well, that's how I perceived that question. So I would choose feathers,
Interesting.
I'd love to be able to fly.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love. Love it. I often look at the birds and think,
I'd like feathers.
You must be so good up there.
I know. Posting around. Yeah.
And do you know, I'd totally recommend anyone to go wing walking, because that is literally the closest feeling.
What is that?
Physically flying.
No, forget it.
Where they basically strap you to the outside of an aeroplane. You know, you stood on the wing of a plane. The pressure of the wind on your body, and it literally does take your breath away. Like sometimes I'm like, not sure if I can breathe in because it's so strong, but it's that exhilarating feeling. We filmed that on Amazing Machines again, another incredible day.
That sounds very dangerous.
If you want to know how to fly, I'd say that's the closest I've got to, like, physically you flying.
Yeah. Wow.
That is bonkers.
I've always been more drawn to water. I don't know why. Maybe I've got some sort of aversion to heights. But
so you take the scales. So that's our ridiculous question. We do have three final questions, which we ask all of our guests, and they throw up all sorts of different answers. You can take them as deep or not as you wish. Harry, do you want to kick off?
Yes, Grace. What has got you excited at this very moment?
I would say excited right now is the future of electric vehicles.
Brilliant.
I think because that's what I'm studying at the moment and taking part a lot in, I'm learning a lot right now about electric vehicles, and they're only getting better. And I'm excited to see how manufacturers are going to keep improving.
Yeah, no, great answer. It's a fascinating subject, and it's actually what you could fill a whole podcast on electrification. I think it is fascinating.
No.
How much of your success would you put down to luck and right place, right time, and how much do you think is down to pure hard work?
It's 50-50, definitely. Again, my example I used of, hard work by being nice to people and chatting to people and just getting on with what your job is. But then also I was spotted by being in the right place at the right time, and that people found my content. So it's definitely 50-50. So you definitely need to be working hard, but also with a sprinkle of luck thrown in.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Finally, Grace, what are you scared of?
Oh, I really don't like creepy crawlies. Is that a good one? Yeah. Spiders and bugs.
I can't
watch I'm a Celeb because it makes my skin freak out.
Yeah. Oh, I can watch that, but if I see a little spider, I will scream in a very high-pitched voice, whatever the size.
Yeah.
If there's a spider in my house, like, I need someone else to come and remove it, because I can't. I just can't.
Weirdly, because that's a common fear, that we haven't actually had that one very much. We've had some really weird ones that are genuinely odd, like people scared of tea bags, people scared of killer whales. God, what else?
That was a really random one.
Yeah. We've had some really obscure ones. Mine, which is the fear of tiny holes.
That's apparently a phobia, trichophobia or something like that, isn't
good
it?
Good memory, yeah. There's something like that. Yeah, it's an actual thing. I was actually reading about it yesterday, weirdly enough. And every now and again, I force myself to look at a picture of tiny holes to see if I've still got this weird fear, and I do. It literally drives me nuts.
To be honest, I try and do that. You know when, like, a spider has made a cobweb outside your window?
You go and put your face in it.
But you've got the safety of the window there.
Yeah.
So I force myself to, like, get right up close to it and have a look at its body and everything, knowing that I've got the safety of the window outside. And, it's outside and it's happy, and I can have a look at it.
I love that you do that. I love that there's that weirdness in you that you do that. You go up to a window and stare at the spider to try and get over your
fear. But that's like what you were saying about your tiny hole phobia.
I think I've yet to discover my phobia, perhaps. I don't know. I can't. Does everyone have one? I mean, I don't
know.
Like, a phobia, I think, is a bit different to being a little bit scared of creepy crawlies.
Yeah.
Like, phobias are full on, like, you have no control over it.
Yeah, you'll have a panic attack or something.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, we'll wait to see what happens there. look, Grace Webb, thank you so much for giving up your time and coming on to the Motormouth podcast. It's been great to get to know you and find out how you started and all the awesome things you're doing as well. And Grace's Amazing Machine sounds like the best show and the coolest job of all time. So thank you for coming on the show. How can we, and little kids as well, watch it?
So you can find it on BBC iPlayer at any time. Loads of episodes on there. So, you'll never get bored because there's so many on there. So you can go to BBC iPlayer and watch it there, or it's on CBBS every day.
Amazing. Grace, thank you so much for coming onto the Motormouth podcast.
Thank you, guys. See you soon.
Before you go, one final reminder to check out the team at Grid Rival, the place to be for the 2021 motorsport season. If you think you really know your F1 and MotoGP, fancy yourself at making a bit of extra cash, setting up your own or joining a fantasy league, and making sure you have the best driver lineups for each race, all whilst getting access to the best motorsport content and chatting to like-minded fans, then Grid Rival is the place for you. Leagues go live at the end of February, so make sure you're at the front of the queue by getting notified as soon as they're ready by heading over to their website gridrival.com or download their app from your selected app store and get prepped for a brand new season of motorsport with Grid Rival. Now, if you're a really lovely person and fancy supporting the podcast further, just head over to Patreon or the link is in the podcast description. We've got some great goodies and bonus content to give you if you sign up. Just search Motormouth Official on Patreon and there are three levels of membership to choose from. Thank you so much for listening to the Motormouth podcast. Do make sure you give us a follow on our socials, Twitter at Motormouth_, Instagram at Motormouth_official, and Facebook, just search Motormouth. You can also download the Motormouth app where you can get exclusive video content from MMTV, create your own social profile to interact with other fans, and check up on all the latest happenings with whatever motorsport takes your fancy. We're also proud to be supporting the Brain Tumor Charity too, so make sure you check the links in the podcast description to find out how you can help cure brain tumors quicker. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and review. And until next time, you've been listening to the Motormouth podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.